Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Time to saddle up. It's our Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Ed Alexander helping out, producing and engineering our show and making it all possible. Ed and I welcome you to the program on this Thursday, June the 4th, 2015. Very unusual weather. Normally this time of year, I think the first 2 weeks of June are considered kind of the monsoon turnaround, which means the driest 2 weeks of the year, but we may actually be getting some rain this weekend, which is very weird. Links to the Buckmaster Show at TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Sahuarita Sun, and TucsonLifestyle.com. I'll have direct links to our program. And I also think there's a link on the three Sonorans, right, David?
Right at the top on the right-hand side.
So I'll add that to the list. David Morales of three Sonorans fame, avowed moving to the left, leftist, and he is seated to the left of me. Sean McCluskey is here, Mr. McCluskey, seated to the right appropriately, because that's the way Sean thinks.
A little
pretty
bit.
Pretty much to the right. Anyway, the two guys come together. Usually we do it early in the month, and it is early in the month, and it is usually on a Thursday, and it is our monthly showdown. Gentlemen, how are you?
Outstanding, thank
Excellent.
You.
Excellent. Mm-hmm.
Governor Ducey, in about, what did you hear, Sean?
About an hour. 1:30, excuse me.
He will be announcing, well, a major policy initiative to fund K through 12 education by pumping an additional $1.5 billion to $2 billion into the state's education system over the next 5 years. But Sean and David, there's a big if here. This would have to be approved by the voters to change the state constitution, which to allow the state to sell off the state trust land, get into that account.
Well, and it's something they have to do over time, but I think this is not a great idea. And a few Republicans might disagree with me, and some of the Democrats definitely, but it's the school systems have ample amount of funds going to it. If you throw more money at it, it's not always the solution to the problem, especially when it comes to education. You look at states like New Jersey, number one in funding, and they're something like 47th in pupils produced. So if you just used and you come up with a few creative ideas that we used to do back in the day when we went to school in Illinois and here in Arizona, I'm sure it was the same way when David was a child. You have five assistant principals at some schools. You need to start reducing your cost, and then teachers don't get paid enough. So you could two-prong approach. Say you take a school has a facilities assistant principal that mm-hmm. takes care of all the grounds and maintenance and issuing of the pools and the grounds and the basketball courts and that sort of thing. You have the disciplinary assistant principal. You have the athletic director assistant principal, and then you have there's another principal they typically have. So they have at least four assistant principals in your typical high school. If you took those duties and you took those salaries away and you distributed those duties amongst a few of the teachers and gave them a little bit of a bonus, you'd save ample amount and you'd reduce the administration. The administration costs are where it's the choke point of the financial system for the school districts. It doesn't matter if you take TUSD, you take Vail, Chandler, Mesa, it doesn't matter where you go. That problem is persistent across the board. We're administration heavy and we're teacher light. We need to pay teachers more, give them more incentive to produce better children, and you'll get more bang for your buck.
David Morales, what do you think, first of all, the governor's plan about selling off some of the state trust land?
Well, I think the fact that he's trying something is indicative that he's been a disaster on K through 12 funding, and he's trying to find some solution. I mean, even the business community, just a few weeks ago, he met with the big corporate CEOs, the Greater Phoenix Leadership, the Flagstaff 40, and the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. They all want to push an initiative for a 1% sales tax for education. And he's against it. And, you know, because that would basically go against the state legislator. But you know, we have a right as citizens to make our own laws. The problem here, I mean, the problem with the education goes with the funding is in the year 2000, they passed on Prop 301, which set like a base level that you have to have for every year. And it has been challenged all the way up to the Arizona Supreme Court, and they've ruled that the state legislature owes education $317 million this year. In addition, they owe him $1.6 billion going back to 2000 and $1.3 billion in interest. So that's about $3 billion.
So you're saying if they pay up, we'd put a big debt.
They've been court ordered to pay up, and they refuse to. And that's the problem. So what did Ducey and the legislator do this year? They allowed $74 million in inflation. And so people say, we're giving more money to education. But then they cut, you know, $117, and then they cut another $22 million. And in the end, you end up cutting money, you know, not just for K through 12, but the university system lost 13% of its funding. The prison system got an increase. We now spend 50%.
Hold on. We're not going to prisons. I'm going to give you a couple corrections. Okay. K through 12 got a $103 million increase from last year to this year.
And they got cuts. They got cuts, too, though.
But they still got an increase overall of $103 million was the increase in funding that went to K through 12.
Okay.
If you look at...
Last year...
Hold on. Let me finish. If you look at the Board of Regents raising cost of tuition, they were okay with a 17% cut. Ducey took it to 20% over their overall budget. The University of Arizona budget is $1.3 million. I believe Ed said that this morning. And they could not figure out how to do a 3% cut. They were okay at 17, but at 20, it was catastrophic. And now their overall budget is $1.3 billion. You're telling me that you can't find that much money in there? That's a poor job by the regents. That's not a Ducey problem. So you can't blame this on Ducey. Ducey won't raise taxes because he ran to become governor on the fact that he would not raise taxes. The businesses want better education. It comes down to your schools not performing. Your administration heavy, your teacher light. 65% is administration. 55% is teachers. Get more teachers, okay. Get less administration.
So, I mean, we talked about this a few months ago, and you were never able to provide the source, but I think I know where your source is from. And it's how do you what do you consider administrative funding at the schools? Did you know that the janitors?
Janitors should be outsourced.
The
bus
cafeteria
drivers should be outsourced.
The bus drivers. So when you talk about, you know,
reduction of cost.
And here's a few other things. One, you know, and John Petticone gave a few years ago a raise to the teachers, but then cut the health insurance benefits that they were getting. So they were actually getting less per paycheck. So what you're doing is you're showing just one side of the story. You're saying he gave $100 and some million, but he cut more than that. So the net, you know, you lose money in the end. And what we're talking about here is the state, okay? The state is cutting over $100 million to the university.
Irrelevant.
It's very relevant.
No.
$100 million doesn't matter?
No, but not out of a $1.3 billion
that money
budget.
Comes
that's 10%.
That money comes from grants that the professors work for.
That's
and stuff.
Separate.
Okay, we're going to go to the live line. Jim Kelly with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Bill. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Listen, you guys are a little off subject. The reality of it is this, is that the state trust lands were originally developed and designed to pay for education in the state of Arizona. So what they're doing is they're going to tweak the law with this proposition so that the real estate can earn and not just sit there and burn.
You're correct, James. They're going to change it from 2% currently to 10% for 5 years and then drop it back down to 5% and raise it up 2.5% where it's from its current value. You're absolutely correct. It's a poor idea.
That's the whole point of this, which is a great idea, and I think it's genius, as a matter of fact, and it will increase the funding to K through 12 education and hopefully a higher education as well. But where you guys, where both of you are losing on this argument with regards to education, is that money doesn't equal outcome.
Thank you.
It never has and it never will when it comes to student achievement. Our school districts have forgotten their primary purpose. Good stewards of the taxpayer dollars, graduate, self-sufficient, literate students. We've had mission creep for 50 years in education, where education kept grabbing more and more life responsibility for the children and taking it away from the parents. Parents need to get back to being responsible, but that also means that we need an economic environment where parents are making enough money to sustain a family of four. That's my comments, gentlemen.
Thank you, Jim. And Ed, would you put that back up there about the U of A? The total budget, it's a $1.9 billion operating budget for the University of Arizona and the two medical schools. The budget calls for the university to cut or reallocate more than $43 million this coming school year, including $28 million already cut by the legislature. So,
well, a lot of that budget comes from, like I said, grants, and it also comes from the raised tuition. So It's $11,000 now to go to the U of A. And
that's the Board of Regents' fault, not Governor Ducey's.
The Board of Regents is Republican, all right? The Board of Regents is...
They should still be replaced.
You're saying that Ducey cutting $100 million from the
drop in the bucket, it's irrelevant. Both
you're
universities,
saying it has no impact.
No, both okay. universities were okay with, like I said, a 17% reduction when they had heartburn.
You're saying it's okay to cut the funding by $100 million.
Yes.
You're saying it's okay to cut the Pima Community College budget to zero.
That's because of mismanagement, and that's a different subject. Now,
hold on. You always say money doesn't matter, okay? You say money, but when it comes to cops, when it comes to prisons, give them more money, give them more money.
It's education is not, that's what we're talking about today.
We spend the least
look
in the state
at, and, David, the, and the okay, David, nation. Look at the numbers. Education. If you look at the bottom three
Let's
people,
look at, the
look at the numbers. Look at the people who spend the most and look at their quality of education they're returning for their bang for the buck. It's pathetic.
Okay, right, let's look at this.
Look at Iowa, who spends the absolute least, and they produce the seventh best student. So your argument is invalid.
No, we spend less now than we did 4 years ago.
And we're still not getting... Okay, the money isn't the issue.
It is the issue.
No, it is not,
right,
sir. Okay. The money is not the issue.
Let's take money from cops.
You're not a
lumber. It doesn't matter.
When we finish, but you're not producing the child, okay? And that comes from the teachers. That does not come from the funding. If you get more money into the classroom, that does not dictate that you're going to have a better student. Iowa is proving that.
Here, all right, we're going to pause right here. We're going to have to take a break. Roger, I know you've been waiting. We're going to do the break and then come back. You will be up first on the live line at 790-2040. It is the monthly showdown with Sean and David. We'll be right back.
Ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you landed 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
Oh, as good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Showdown. Bill Buckmaster with Sean McCluskey to the right of me and David Morales to the left. And both David and Sean very passionate today about education. And we want to get in a couple of callers who have been waiting patiently. Roger, you are up first. Go ahead.
Yeah. One thing, before DA starts attacking Republicans, I can remember Frank Antonori when he was in the Senate ran a bill to sell off 3% of state-owned land, and that tax money from that land would have generated huge revenues for Arizona. The mines, such as Rosemont, would generate huge income, jobs, which also pay huge taxes. We need not only to answer every question out there by gouging taxpayers and those producing money for the state by saying we want more money out of you, because that only kills jobs and creates a bigger burden on the state by creating more money that has to go to those that lose their income. So We need some answers that will generate some revenue. And, for instance, ASU having paid out $500,000 to hear Hillary Clinton speak for 1 hour, where's the outrage for that waste of money?
Okay, thank you, Roger. Okay, David?
Well, I think what everyone here is forgetting is that Arizona owes billions of dollars already to education. The court has ordered that the state legislature owes this money already. It owes it, and it does not give it to it. And instead, we're talking about selling off land. And guess what? You know, Chuff Coughlin, you know, all these people are happy about it, because then you privatize more land, right? But the thing is, we already have a solution. The money's there. But guess what? The money that we have, we then give tax cuts. We give massive tax cuts. We refuse to raise taxes. We refuse to have sales tax. We vote down everything. And this is a catastrophe that's happening, because we have no problem cutting education. We have no problem cutting community colleges to $0. But we increase prison funding to over $1 billion. If we're so poor, why are we spending
David,
more money?
Nobody disagrees with you that we shouldn't increase the prison funding. But the solution isn't raise more taxes. The solution isn't put more money into the pool for education. The solution is to use what you currently have and produce a better student. There are certain ways that we can do it through reduction of administration. And you can take that money and funnel it back, especially into the K-12. That's where the education needs to be. Now, hold on. The business leaders are upset over this, because they understand that they are not getting the end result produced by the education system. And that's why they said, wait a minute, we need to raise the taxes. Ducey
zero
his laurels and said, no, we're not going to raise taxes, because that's what I ran on.
$0 to Pima Community College. Zero.
Because of the way that it is woefully mismanaged.
No. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
J-TED is the only one that you can argue.
Now,
hold on. J-TED is the only one that you can argue that funding was cut and it should not have been, because J-TED is more important than
Let me give you an example
quickly and then
university.
A caller who wants to talk.
Under the state law, the private prison industry had to be reviewed every year to show that it was saving money and being more effective. They actually found out a few years ago that it was costing us more money for private prisons. And you know what the state did? They canceled the review process. We are spending more and more money on private corporations that are
That's not education. We'll take that up with the
legislature. It matters, because when your leadership wants to spend less for schools and more for prisons, that says something about what they have in mind for the future of the next generation.
All right, let's go to Dewey is with us, calling 790-2040. Hello, Dewey.
Oh, hi. I'm wondering if, when you're just talking about the money and the quality of teaching, if you're taking into consideration all these illegal people that we're educating. That's the big burden.
How much is it? Can you give me a reference, please?
You know, I don't have it, but I've heard it's millions. It's a lot of money, a lot.
And how much do how much
also,
their parents
a big burden on the teachers? They, I have been a teacher every day. We get another illegal. I can't say he's illegal. I don't know, but they don't talk English, and it's very hard to teach them when the other kids have to talk to them and interpret.
Especially when you're
everything.
Banned bilingual education, which teaches them English. But yeah.
Well, okay. I'll just take that into consideration about all these illegal students, and you should know that number. Thank you.
Okay, Dewey. We appreciate you weighing in here on the Buckmaster Show. Shall we go to Mike? Mike is with us next on the live line. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. The question of funding. My wife's in the school system, and they do have the option to put more money into the classrooms with the money they have right now. They just spend so much on administration, and that's where the problem part of the problem lies.
Okay.
They just have so many people in the upper offices, doing these jobs with these funny labels, and not very much gets back to the teachers and to the students.
Now, I've been wanting to address this today. So this is an interesting example of how math can be used to twist the story, okay? Let's say you have $100 that you spend on a restaurant or something, just to make it a nice number, right? And let's say $40 of that goes to, the rent and utilities and stuff, okay? Now you cut your funding by $20. Guess what happens to the amount you're spending on overhead, on the schools and stuff? That percentage goes up. So when the more you cut funding, the more it's going to be spent on administration, because administration is the janitors and the bus drivers and everything like that. So I'm not wrong. No, that is true. Look at how much it's spent. We're not talking about, we don't have that.
Five assistant principals make what the equivalent of 30 teachers make. You have a 6-to-1 ratio almost between a teacher and an administrator's salary. You can hire 6 teachers for every one administrator.
How many police cops? How many people?
Irrelevant
how
to the fact we're talking about education.
See, that's the thing.
You're mixing your funding sources. You can't take the city of Tucson and talk about cops and then take the state and mix your education.
Okay,
money.
Let's talk about the state's funding on.
We're talking about education. Stay
okay.
on topic.
Okay. It matters.
Okay, take a quick break here. Noah has weighed in on the Buckmaster bill at buckmastershow.com, sent me an email. He says he wants to correct some things. He says Chandler pays its teachers higher than most of the state on average. Over $51,000 is the teacher's salary. He also says Arizona isn't worst per student funding. It's 48th out of 51.
Yeah, compared to Mississippi.
Utah is at dead last in funding, but according to NOAA, it outperforms most or more than half of the other states.
And that's like Iowa. Iowa does the same thing. Iowa, I believe, is right in the lower five of funding sources. They're right down there with Arizona, and they produce about the 7th best student in quality through testing and education.
So NOAA agrees
the correlation between
with
the
Sean,
money
yeah.
and the end result mm-hmm. is a fallacy that's perpetuated by the Democrats, and
NOAA
they don't
says
believe it.
Money isn't the only answer, and he says David thinks tax cuts and failing to raise taxes is taking from education. He thinks the state owes our earnings.
The court
not us.
Ordered that. The Supreme Court ordered that. If this is the inconsistency you have, Sean, if you're saying that more money does not equal better quality, then apply that to the prison system, private prison system. You don't apply it to that. You're okay with taking money away from
schools.
No,
I'm not. You're putting words in my mouth. I'm saying that the money that has had and currently being used in the education system is not
budget.
Being effectively used. And yes, I absolutely do. Because
you
do, the money,
so you support $0 to Pima Community College.
I don't
college.
Agree with it wholeheartedly. Yes, I do. I agree with that.
You
portion.
Agree that Pima
agree.
Should get $0,
yes.
but Pima, the jail system.
JTED should get more money.
But
JTED should
but
get
the
more. If you want
industry.
To answer the question, JTED should get more money. JTED is an integral part of are people who don't want to go to the university system. They need the trade jobs. You need plumbers. You need electricians.
Yeah.
You need air conditioners.
And you need
service
prisoners.
Techs.
And that's why our state has guaranteed these private prisons that we will fill their
quit
beds.
Quit committing crimes. You won't go to jail. It's just that simple. Educate your kids. They won't end up in jail.
How do you educate the kids?
So
you
use the money effectively.
So David Morales, bottom line, if we spend more money on education, will we get better students?
If we spend what the Supreme Court said is owed to education, just start with that, it would be a big start.
It would not produce a better student.
They owe us the money. Give it to us.
The proof is in the pudding. Look at the results you have right now.
They owe
regardless of whether they owe it.
Will they pay the money, do you think?
That'll go. It'll be another court decision, and, and I'm not involved in that. And it's irrelevant of the fact of whether they do or they don't.
Because
the
money,
that they have and they use currently, they misuse it. Look at TUSD. Look at TUSD versus Vail. Vail just reduced and removed two principals because they were not performing. Has TUSD ever done that? They don't have a backbone to do it. They can't spend their money
teachers.
Appropriately.
They've been closing schools
because
and they
pay their administrators too much. They have to share teachers. That's really good for our students, isn't it? That's gonna create a quality educated kid because he's sharing teachers. Why don't you spend your money effectively, reduce some of your cost, put more money into the teachers,
what
and you'll get
so
a better
bad
result.
About giving the money that is owed to education to education. What is so bad about that? The Supreme Court ruled it. Why are you against that?
Not about that. It's
all
about
right.
using the money you have effectively.
You are disagreeing with Arizona State Supreme Court.
All right, we're going to leave it right there. Sean McCluskey, David Morales. People can read about Sean on Facebook. Sean McCluskey is very prominent on Facebook. And David Morales, we can find out about what you're doing, not only on Facebook, but through your blog site, Three Sonorans.
ThreeSonorans.com.
There you go. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
For a spirited discussion on our showdown, back with you on the showdown in July, 12:30 exactly now on Buckmaster. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garber on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:33. If you're looking for a cool weekend getaway, who isn't, right? Consider the arts and recreation-oriented historic community of Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson, that mile-high elevation. Around 55 to 6,500 feet above sea level makes for mild days and cool nights. So much to do, like exploring the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, and there's no shortage of great places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge. You can find out about all the great lodging and things to do by visiting their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show Live Line from his observatory in Vail, Arizona, Dr. David Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science. He is the former science editor of Parade Magazine, and he's now head of and founder of Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. Dr. Levy, one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. He has discovered 23 comets, including his co-discovery of Shoemaker-Levy 9, the comet that collided with Jupiter in 1994, producing the most spectacular explosions ever witnessed in the solar system. David, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. All the better for hearing your voice. You came back from a wonderful trip to Hawaii to hear this marvelous news about the Broadcasters Hall of Fame in Arizona. Congratulations. Tell me about it. I get to interview you.
No, it's a great honor, David. Thank you very much. And to be in the Broadcasters Hall of Fame is a huge honor, and I'm very humbled. And thank you for bringing it up to our listeners, and thanks for all of the folks who have responded so positively this week on the Bill Buckmaster Facebook page.
But how long have you been a broadcaster for now?
Pretty much starting as an intern in Chicago at WIND in 1967, so we're talking we'll be close to 50 years in the business.
Oh, that's wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Bill.
And David, you mentioned Hawaii, and we were looking for the Southern Cross, and I believe we did see it on the Big Island of Hawaii. It was about 15 degrees to 15 to 20 degrees on the southern horizon early in the evening. Would that have been it? That would have been it. Well,
it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to see. We just can't quite see it from here, but you sure can from Hawaii.
David, for I had not checked out 2001, the movie, in so many years, and we started watching it again last night. And of course, Arthur C. Clarke, one of his masterpieces. Did you ever meet Mr. Clarke, Dr. Clarke?
Arthur C. Clarke and I had a very long and friendly and happy email friendship that lasted for about the last 10 years of his life. And we would write the things. And I think the best thing was when I came back from watching a rerun of 2010, I pointed out to him that the that spot on Jupiter near the end of the movie that forms just before the planet disintegrates to form a star, that spot actually was very much like the impact spots of SL9. And he was fascinated by that. And he said, I'm going to watch the film again tonight just to see it. And he did.
You know, it was interesting, David. The special effects, so far ahead of their time in that movie. It really is fascinating to take a look at it and to the way that in 1968, when the movie came out, the way that we were thinking in 1968 about the future of space travel. And I guess 2001, when you thought about it in 1968, it just seemed like, yes, we would have a colony on the moon.
Yeah, we did. We were certain that back then that there'd be plenty of time to set one up, and I'm really, it's one of the big disappointments in many of our lives that never happened.
You've got a big retreat coming up. It's your annual astronomy retreat. It's very popular in upstate New York.
Yes, it is. It's just near Lewis, New York, near the town of Lewis and near the town of Westport. This year it'll be in mid-July, and we're full for this year. We do have a waiting list for it, but it is one of the most beautiful places we know of, two of the most beautiful spots on the planet. One of them is our own backyard. The other is the Adirondacks as seen from our retreat. It's just spectacular.
Will you be there for the meteor showers in July?
Oh, yes, we will be there. There'll be the Delta Aquarid meteors that we'll be watching from there. Looking forward to getting some pictures of it. In fact, I finally got my first really good picture of a meteor. It was an early Etic Aquarid meteor at the end of April, a little piece of Halley's Comet. And I have the picture. It shows the summer triangle coming up in the east with this big bright meteor coming in right below it. It was just beautiful. I'm looking at it right now.
Dr. David Levy with us on the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Levy joins us once a month, and he also once a month gives us his astronomy out of this world quote.
This time is an easy one. It's Ralph Hodgson's The Song of Honor, and you wouldn't let me do the whole thing because it would take me about 5 hours, but I'm just going to quote the last five lines or so.
Okay.
I stood and stared. The sky was lit. The sky was stars all over it. I stood and knew not why. Without a wish, without a will, I stood upon that silent hill and stared into the sky until my eyes were blind with stars, and still I stared into the sky.
Mm. You know, it just, I was reflecting on that night sky on the big island of Hawaii, and I see why now they have, why it is such a hub for astronomy. It's amazing how bright those stars are on the big island.
Yeah, they are. It's a wonderful place to visit, and I'm very glad you had a good vacation, especially to come back to this lovely news. Must have been perfect.
It has been a great week. David Levy, yeah. Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll look forward, David, to your visit with us in July. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you, Bill.
David Levy with us, and we talk with David once a month here on the Buckmaster Show. He's one of 24 or so contributors to the Buckmaster Show, and one of those contributors is coming up next. He is our legal contributor. Attorney Don Luce joins us on the Buckmaster Show Thursday edition. Don Luce in the house. He's next.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I park right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, the Friday Focus interview talks about the looming water crisis here in the West. Also, the Friday Roundtable features Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Star and Dan Shear of the Green Valley News. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where it is 12:45 on this Thursday afternoon. We're from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, coming to you over The Voice. And we're also coming to you through your computer at KVOI.com and BuckmasterShow.com. Quick plug for tomorrow's show. Each Friday, we devote the first half hour to what we call our Friday Focus interview to a newsmaker talking about a very important subject. Tomorrow, it is the drought and what we are going to be doing here in Arizona about this looming water crisis. That is going to be our lead focus tomorrow on the show. We are joined now in studio with attorney Don Luce, Mr. Luce of Luce, Brown, and Hobkirk and Associates. They have offices here in Tucson and in the Phoenix area. Don Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. He's the author of two very popular books who were written, both books were written not really for people in his profession, but for those of us who are not lawyers and want to know in a very common sense way about what Arizona laws are all about. So one book is called Arizona Laws 101, and it says right under the title, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, in its second edition. And then there's the other book, a very important book as well, Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks for having me.
And it is important for folks to, when you look at Arizona Laws 101, there's no shortage of new laws ever in this state. I mean, every year the legislature passes hundreds of new laws.
Absolutely. And in fact, that's what makes my job as an attorney interesting. We are never at a loss for new laws and court rulings that interpret existing laws. And so you and I, every month, we talk about the cases and the legislative agenda and all of the changes that are occurring in real time. And it makes for some interesting discussion, I believe.
And there is never a shortage of news about Arizona's marijuana legalization law and a new poll released on Wednesday, yesterday.
Right. Well, and to set the context for this, your listeners will recall that in 2010, the voters of Arizona, through a ballot initiative, approved the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act, which made it legal for cardholders to possess and use marijuana for medical purposes. The interesting thing about that law, and which still exists, is that the federal law classifies marijuana as a Schedule I controlled substance, which means that it cannot be prescribed. The federal government doesn't recognize marijuana as having any legitimate medical purpose, and mere possession of marijuana is a federal crime. So you have a state law that allows tens of thousands of residents to use marijuana for medicinal purposes, and then you have a federal law that says marijuana is a controlled substance and cannot be used or possessed for any purpose. So over the years, we've seen this conflict play out in arenas like employment, where a medical marijuana cardholder may use marijuana pursuant to state law, but his employer is doing a federal job, and one of the requirements that the federal government imposes on their contractors is that their workers not use marijuana. Well, there's a conflict. How is that resolved? Another instance would be a medical marijuana user is operating a motor vehicle, and he has traces of THC in his system. Under the DUI laws, that's illegal because he has trace THC. So these conflicts have been playing out over the past several years in our courts, and we're seeing how difficult it is in certain circumstances for the judges to come to grips with the conflict between the state and federal laws. Well, something new has now happened. There are two initiatives that started last month to put on the November 2016 ballot a proposal that would make legal the recreational use of marijuana. So essentially, this would open the door for every resident of the state of Arizona who is 21 years of age or older to possess up to an ounce of marijuana for any purpose, and it would no longer be a crime. It's a revolutionary proposition because up until less than 5 years ago, mere possession of marijuana in Arizona was illegal.
So we would become, there are other states that have done this, Colorado.
Colorado's the best example.
Yeah, best example. But going back to a fundamental question for you, shouldn't federal law supersede state law? It's kind of at the heart of this entire argument about medical marijuana.
It does supersede state law under the preemptive doctrine. Now, what the Department of Justice did a couple of years ago was put out a memorandum that said, in essence, we are going to prioritize our resources and prosecute marijuana cases in the following order of priority. And what they've done is they've identified circumstances under which they're giving the federal prosecutors the green light to pursue the criminal charges. That would be if firearms were involved with marijuana, the marijuana was being distributed to or by children, and other what I think everyone would agree are clearly improper and kind of egregious circumstances. So under this memoranda, the federal government has prioritized the cases that it will target, but not included are dispensaries that are operating pursuant to proper licensure from the state in which medical marijuana is legal. They won't target grow facilities that are providing product to these dispensaries so long as the operations are legal under state law. And they won't target the mere use or possession of marijuana in most cases. So they've carved out exceptions to the prosecutorial landscape, and they've said, because of our limited resources, we are not going to prioritize prosecution of these cases. And therefore, in Arizona, for instance, we have over 100 licensed medical marijuana dispensaries who are under state law selling marijuana that is grown in our state, typically in greenhouses or other secured facilities. And the federal government knows about these because they're licensed through the Department of Health Services. but under this federal Department of Justice memorandum, they are not going to target these entities or people for federal prosecution.
Do you have any idea how many cardholders are now eligible to take part in this?
At last count, it was north of 50,000.
Well, let me ask you something. We're going to have a change in administration. We're going to have a hotly contested presidential race coming up. What would happen if whoever is elected, the president of the United States, was a very hardcore against marijuana?
Well, that's been the risk that has always been present with this conflict between state and federal law, because as you pointed out, Bill, federal law supersedes state law in all instances. There are no exceptions. And the federal government under the Obama administration has determined to not prosecute dispensaries or grow facilities that are operating legally under the laws of the states in which they're located. That could change just as quickly as it happened. Under a new administration, the Department of Justice could just as easily issue a memorandum saying we've reprioritized our resources, and we have now decided to prosecute medical marijuana dispensaries and grow facilities.
Yeah, so who knows what's going to happen. This is the situation is very fluid, as they say. In the headlines today, another legal story, Arizona again is seeking to deny driver's licenses to the so-called dreamers. These are the people, Don Luce, that are referred to as...
These are the children of immigrants. The federal government, through the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, has essentially said that they are going to defer any type of action against approximately 24,000 Arizonans who are here. They arrived in Arizona when they were young. They haven't gotten into trouble with the law. They're in school. And the federal government has said, under these circumstances, we're not going to break up the families, and we are not going to deport these people. And that... that program has occasionally been referred to as the Dreamers Act or program. The name actually came from a proposal in Congress that never passed. But anyway, the concept is that we have between 20 and 40,000 people in Arizona who are allowed to stay here under an executive order signed by President Obama a couple of years ago. Now, the state of Arizona has said, well, that's fine. You know, there's nothing that we can do to deport them because that's a federal function, but we're not going to issue driver's licenses to them. And the Department of Justice took exception to that. It was decided by a U.S. district judge in Arizona that the state could not deny driver's licenses to these so-called dreamers because the judge said the state provides driver's licenses to other immigrants who are here pursuant to certain statutory deferral programs. And so if you're going to provide driver's license to one class of immigrants, you have to provide driver's licenses to all classes of immigrants. Otherwise, you're denying the immigrants that you don't provide a license to of their equal protection rights under the U.S. Constitution. The state of Arizona lost the case. The district judge entered an injunction requiring the Department of Motor Vehicles to issue driver's licenses to these so-called dreamers. And now the state of Arizona is appealing that decision to the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. The arguments have been made to the court. A decision has not yet been rendered. But I have to tell you, in my professional opinion, this is a very difficult battle for the state of Arizona to win, given the procedural history of this case.
And again, you've got the federal government and the state going at it again.
You really do. The state of Arizona said we need to distinguish between laws that are created by Congress and laws that are created by the president pursuant to executive order. And these so-called dreamers who are in Arizona and are not being deported are only here because of an executive order which we, the state of Arizona, believe was invalid. We don't believe, the state of Arizona says, that President Obama had the authority by executive action to essentially let these immigrants stay when otherwise they would not have qualified for residency.
And of course, a fundamental question that many are asking, if these people are here illegally, how do they have really any citizens' rights?
Well, look, they have the right to be educated. According to this court case that we've been talking about, they have the right to have a driver's license. They have the right to work on a limited basis. So they're here. They're here pursuant to an executive order, and the courts are coming to grips with what that means in terms of state services and privileges that they are to be afforded.
Don Luce with us, attorney Don Luce of Luce, Brown and Hobb, Kirk and Associates, have offices here in Tucson in Phoenix. Don, we're very happy to have him as our legal contributor on the show. He appears once a month. He's the author of Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers and estate planning in Arizona. If you do nothing else in the next couple of weeks and you don't have any of your estate in order, it might be a time, Don, at least to say, maybe I should think about it.
It's never a bad time.
Think about it.
I just met with a couple this morning who were in their 70s, and they said, we're glad we got in to get this done before it was too late.
There you go. It's, yeah, think about it at least and do it. Give Don Luce a call. Thank you, Don.
Thanks, Bill.
Coming up this afternoon for Tucson at 4, one of our other fine local talk shows on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Mike Shaw hosts that show along with Ray Allen. Tomorrow morning, it's Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe. Ed Alexander will be with you for that, and he'll also be around from 9 to 10 for the Daily Double with Chris DeSimone. Then I'll be back, Bill Buckmaster, with you with our Friday edition of Buckmaster. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.